Would you bow with me in prayer as we begin our study today? Loving Father, we come before thy throne at this time to give praise to your name, thanks and glory and honor to thee. And we ask that you will be with us as we study thy word together. We pray, Father, we might draw close to thee, we might honor thee in all that we do and say, and that our worship might truly be in spirit and in truth. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins and be with us as we worship together and study thy word at this time. It's in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen. One man wrote these words. He said, "Life is a drama with two actors upon the stage. One is God and the other one is man. One day the curtain will fall and our sojourn here on earth will be ended." And how true that is. That we are as up on a stage as we live life day by day. But one day it will come to an end, though a final curtain will fall. Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." Romans 14 and verse 12 says, "Each of us shall give account of himself unto God." One day our Creator will open the book of life. As you and I stand before the throne, and he's going to be looking to see if our name is written there. It will be an awesome moment when that book is opened. Revelation 20 and verse number 12, John says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their deeds from the things that are written in the book." In 1725, Alexander Pope wrote, "Thy hand, great anarch, lets the curtain fall, and universal darkness covers all." There will be a day when the curtain will fall upon my life, a day when the curtain will fall upon the life of each and every one of us. God's word promises that there will be outer darkness awaiting those who are ungodly. Matthew 25 and verse 30 says, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Revelation 6 verses 15 and 16 pictures judgment and the reaction of evil men when they see judgment coming upon them. In the words that they hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." It will be terrible for each and every one of us if that is our attitude and we are filled with such fears when the final curtain falls. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8 says that that day there will be vengeance on those who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the curtain falls, it will fall suddenly and there will not be time to undo some of the things we're going to wish that we could undo. There will not be time to correct any mistakes. There will not be time to begin to live life properly. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 says that it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. In Revelation 7, 18 and verse 17, the picture is given to us of how quickly God's judgment can come when it says, "For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing." One poet wrote, "Or at the last shall it be mine to find. All that I worked for, I left behind. Won't it be sad that if on that day our lives will have been spent in folly upon this earth, and all that we have worked for, all that we have done, has been for naught. That's why the words of Jesus are so important. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures up on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. John wrote that we should love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, he says the world passes away. But he that does the will of God, he says, abides forever. 1 John 2:17. 1 Peter 3 and verse 10 says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There will come a time, thus, when the curtain will fall one last time upon the life of each and every one of us. Because that is true, we must seriously consider our eternal destiny. Too many people, yea, even too many Christians, live life without giving a serious thought about where they will spend eternity. And all we think about is this day: food to eat, clothes to wear, the things that demand our attention, paying of the bills, the houses we live in, the automobiles we drive, without giving any thought to eternal destiny. There is a poem entitled "The Future," which reads, "As a child, you rehearsed the adult life ahead and dreamed of life's partner you hoped to wed. As a young adult and as a family by your side, to the treadmill you seemed to be tied. Yet soon the offspring had left the nest. Now mom and dad could have some rest. Somehow the future always beckons us on, and the hope of grandchildren provides a new dawn. Soon we're planning for retirement age, and the most wonderful of plans are laid. We may talk of having many years to live, but only God knows how many He'll give. We all know, be it soon or late, we must keep that certain date. Plan for the future, we have all been taught, but when the last appointment is met, then what? When before the sea of death you stand, on what distant shore do you plan to land? Now the future is ever there. The Christian plans to go to be with the Lord, which Paul said is far better than life ever upon this earth. And the Christian works to make his calling and election sure. If you're not a faithful child of God today, I'd invite you to consider how terrible it will be to be lost. God's word assures us that it will be terrible. Do you believe God's word? A lot of people do not believe God's word. And sometimes it would seem that there are many who claim to be Christians who do not believe God's word. But God's word assures us that the place of hell will be a place of everlasting fire, where that the fire will never be quenched, and where the worm never dies. Mark 9:43-45. Revelation 20 and verse number 15 says that anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse number 10 tells us that the devil and his angels that's going to be cast into that lake of fire, those in that lake of fire will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. We need to seriously think about our eternal destiny and make sure we do not go to that place. You know, if I go to hell, there's three things I'd like to point out that it means. First, if I go to hell, it seems to me that it means it will be because I neglected my opportunities here upon this earth. You know, each of us are free. We can make our own choices to how we can spend our time, what we're going to do, how we're going to live. Because of that, I don't believe that there's going to be any excuse regarding spiritual ignorance on that day. All of us have opportunity to study God's Word and to learn His will and to understand what He would have us to do. We all have Bibles we can read and we can understand. Most of us have friends who encourage us. Many of us have been raised in Christian homes where our parents tried to teach us. We have those who teach and preach God's Word and exhort us. So no way can we plead spiritual ignorance. We have many spiritual advantages. How can we hope to escape the wrath of God if we neglect so great a salvation and opportunity afforded to us? I'm afraid that the words of James 4 and verse number 17 are going to haunt our minds throughout all eternity. If we go to hell, what do those words say? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If I go to hell, it will be because I neglect my opportunities. But secondly, if I go to hell, it will be the result of poor decisions and poor choices that I have made. God's Word assures us that we should not be deceived. But whatsoever we sow, that shall we reap. If we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. We make decisions. We make choices. We're sowing. And we're going to reap. The choice of our companion has a major part in determining our eternal destiny. That's one of the decisions we make, which is so important. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 53 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals or corrupts good manners." The companion, all companions about us have an influence upon us. And those that are evil, he says, will corrupt us. But the companion of the greatest influence upon each and every one of us is our marriage partner. And our choice of a marriage partner is also important in determining our eternal destiny. We need to make sure we choose a marriage partner who will make sure that we go to heaven. Few decisions one makes that has more to do with both his happiness here upon this earth and this life and having eternal destiny and our eternal destiny, the decision of the marriage partner we choose. But if we sow to the flesh, we make decisions according to the flesh, then we're going to reap corruption. If our emphasis in life is on fleshly and the worldly, we're going to be lost. Hell is going to be full of people who made the wrong decisions regarding their emphasis and their goals in life. There are many wrong emphases that will cause us to sow to the flesh and reap corruption. Some make decisions for fame and popularity and recognition in order to find achievement. Some wrong choices include making choices based upon wealth or position or possessions. The desire for pleasure and self-indulgence causes many to make wrong decisions. Some make the decision of who to marry based upon glamour and position or physical attractiveness, rather than upon that one's Christ-like qualities that will help them go to heaven. Some people choose a job based upon the money that it will provide and fail to consider whether it will hinder them in their spiritual growth or help them, whether it will help or hinder their family and their responsibilities toward their family and children. Many times jobs are chosen based upon how much money it will make rather than how much time it will require. Choose a profession and a job that will give us time to fulfill the responsibilities God has given us as husbands and fathers and wives and as members of the church of God. Probably next Sunday I'm going to be bringing a lesson which has to do with how we can make effective use of our time. How does God plan? How does God expect us to use our time? We'll be dealing with proper choices and use of time. But our emphasis in life can determine how we will spend eternity. Because our emphasis determines how we spend our time here, and how we spend our time here will determine where we spend eternity. So if I go to hell, it's going to be a result of poor decisions. But a third thing I'd like to point out is if I go to hell, I will miss a lot of joy on earth and the eternal bliss and happiness of heaven. In fact, if I go to hell, it's going to mean that I'm a failure in this life. You know, we worry about being failures, don't we? We begin to suspect, oh, I failed at this or I failed at that. And we begin to think, oh, I'm a failure maybe as a marriage partner. I'm a failure as a mother or a father. Or I failed in business. So we begin to think, oh, I'm a complete failure. I just can't do anything right. And we worry about failing in a lot of ways. But in the final analysis, there's only one thing going to determine whether we're really a failure in life or not. And if I go to hell, then I will truly be a failure. I believe the sincere Christian is the happiest of persons there is on earth. And I'm going to miss that if I go to hell and do not live my life like I should here. I'm going to miss out on that peace that passes understanding from Philippians 4 and verse 7. I'm going to miss out on the Lord being my helper. I'm going to miss out on learning to be content here upon this earth in whatever state I find if I go to hell. The sincere Christian is the happiest of all, because he knows that when the earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, he has an eternal body not made with hands waiting in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:1-2. And the Christian life is the happiest because of the association of people that he can be with upon this earth. His association is with people of like precious faith who genuinely care about his soul, that will try to lift him up in times of difficulties and encourage him in discouragement. But anyone who dies in sin loses the best of this world and of the world to come. John 8:21, Jesus spoke to some of the Pharisees and said to them, "You shall die in your sins, and where I am, you cannot come." Oh, those are harsh words, aren't they? I don't want to hear, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire," on that last great day. Because to hear that would mean everything is lost. Total ruins, a complete failure in two worlds. But then think of the joys that one's going to miss if he misses heaven. The streets of gold, those gates of pearl, the place where there is no darkness, there's no sickness, no death, nor sorrow, nor cry, no pain. In other words, where all of the bad things of this life are gone, they won't be there. I'm going to miss that longed for beautiful home of the soul if I do not go to heaven. I'm going to miss the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me. I'm going to miss those dear friends and relatives and loved ones who have died in the Lord and gone to be with the Lord. I'm going to miss being with those redeemed people of all ages, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Apostle Paul, Peter, Isaiah, Jeremiah. You could go on and on. What a thrill to be able to see those people, to shake their hands. You know, I consider it a thrill each and every time to be able to shake the hand of each and every Christian, each and every person that enters this building, comes here to worship. I'm not putting one of you down. Wouldn't do that in the world, for the world. But you see, the thing about it, each and every one of us can be there and shake the hand of the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, and look upon those hands that were pierced for each one of us. And to have God wipe away all tears. I don't want to miss those pleasures forevermore. To be before the throne of God with that great throng of people who have washed themselves in the blood of the Lamb, made their robes white. And that pleasure of being before His throne, serving Him, worshiping Him, to walk with Jesus to those living fountains of water, and to know there'll be no pain, no suffering. Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote the song that we sang before the lesson this morning, "The Last Mile of the Way." If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way. And I know that there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. I don't want to be a failure. I don't want to miss out on those joys, that eternal bliss of heaven. Seems to me that one of the supreme tragedies of all, there could be no greater tragedy. But that tragedy is for many. Many who know the way of righteousness and yet fail to obey it. There are many warnings given in God's word concerning delay in doing that which we know we ought to do, and being indifferent to commands that we know we are commanded to obey, and yet we won't obey them. Hebrews 3 verse 15 says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. But you see, that's what we do when we know there's something we ought to do and we won't do it. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, sin and Satan would deceive us, make us think we've got plenty of time. There's a passage over in the book of Zechariah which I came upon as I was studying for this lesson, where that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, and he says, thus says God, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion. And he goes on telling them not to oppress the widow, the fatherless, the alien, the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the word of the law and the word which is the Lord of hosts. Many today still seem to refuse to hear the word of God, harden their hearts, close their ears and hearts, will not turn to the Lord. Some will miss heaven due to procrastination. You ever think about that? Someday it's going to be too late, probably for millions that are still putting off doing that which they know they should do, whether it's obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian, or whether it's obeying some command that they know they should be obeying as a Christian and they're not. We must take time to be holy. Take time to do those things which we know we must do. Another poem I would share with you entitled No Time for God. You have time to build houses and in them dwell, and time to do business, to buy and to sell, but none for repentance or deep earnest prayer. To seek your salvation, you have no time to spare. But time will not linger when helplessly you lie, staring death in the face. You will take time to die. Then what of the judgment? Pause, think, I implore, for time will be lost on eternity's shore. We have time to do those things we want to do. Do we want to go to heaven? When the last curtain falls, you know, we're going to rejoice in a whole lot of things if we've taken time for the Lord. We're going to rejoice in every moment spent in serving God. We're going to rejoice in every soul we've helped to save. We're going to rejoice in every visit that we have made to the sick. Everything, good deed that we've performed for those in need. We're going to rejoice in the sublime presence of God. We're going to rejoice in our deliverance from sin on earth by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to rejoice in the great grace and mercy and kindness of God, and in our great victory over Satan through Jesus Christ. We're going to rejoice in the reality and the joy of life eternal as we embark upon it. if we've taken time for God. But when the last curtain falls, there's going to be some regrets also. We're going to be ashamed of all the time we wasted when we could have been serving God, when we could have been feasting upon that eternal bread of life. I'm convinced we're going to regret our neglect of God's word, our lack of prayer. We will be filled with remorse over those that perhaps we have failed to teach. Some of us parents will regret our failure to train our children in the way that they should go. All of us are going to regret the poor choices that we have made, whether we go to heaven or we go to hell. We're going to regret those poor choices. We're going to regret choices that we made when we put things of the flesh and our pleasure first before the kingdom of God. We're going to regret perhaps sleeping in or staying out late Saturday night, not getting to Bible class on Sunday morning. Thousands will regret their choice of marriage partners who didn't help them go to heaven. Others are going to regret their choices of choosing divorce and the wrecking of a home. You see, in the final analysis, if I go to hell, it'll simply be because I did not want to go to heaven strongly enough. Put the emphasis in the wrong place, chose the wrong things. Because I wanted something else more. Do you really want to go to heaven? It will be worth any sacrifice. Heaven is too sweet, too wonderful to miss. So don't let the curtain fall upon your indecision or your rebellion against God or your shame. Instead, if you're not right with God, think straight and clear. Don't harden your heart. And listen to the admonition of God's word that exhorts us to open our hearts. And let that one in, one who died for you. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son. The man who wanted the son who wanted his inheritance right then. His father gave it to him. He departed, you remember, where he spent what had been given to him in riotous, ungodly living. Found himself each day going lower and lower till he finally found himself in the pig pen feeding this pig in order to be able to have just that to live. In fact, he found himself being ready to eat the pig's food. And the record says, but when he came to himself, when he began to think straight, when his heart had been beaten around so much by all of the evil of this world, that it was soft enough to think straight. He said, I will arise and go to my father. And I'll say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. Oh, a lot of people need to think straight. Need to come to themselves before it's too late, before they find themselves not just in the pig pen, but in the eternal fires of hell. You're subject to the invitation whether as a Christian who does not think straight or one who is out of Christ, will you not respond this morning? The song's going to say, there's a great day coming. Serving the Lord and getting right with God is going to be worth any embarrassment. Oh, you can obey the Lord and don't have to walk down the aisle to do it. You might feel embarrassed walking down the aisle, but going to heaven is going to be worth any embarrassment. It's going to be worth any relationship or any friend, even if it has to be sacrificed. You may think, oh, I'm too bad. But you're not. Jesus died for those that crucified him. You might think, I can't be faithful to him, but God will help you if you're really serious about living for him. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. Noah had a whole world in opposition to him that wouldn't listen, but he remained faithful. With God, you can too. You're subject to the invitation. Why not obey this morning? Don't procrastinate. Don't harden your heart. Make sure. Make the right choice. Make sure you go to heaven, not to hell. Won't you do that while we sing, while we stand and sing?
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left, there's ready for that day to come. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming, there's a bright day coming by and by. But the brightness shall only come to those that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? A sad day coming, a sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? For the judgment day. Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Thank you, Mark, for a very timely lesson. I think one we need to all thoroughly consider. 295 will be our closing hymn, after which we'll be led in prayer. At this time, would you pass your attendance cards into the center aisle? Remember, services this evening will be at 7:30 rather than 6 o'clock. Encourage you all to come back at that time and worship with us again. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Who Jesus is. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's
stopped in thousands. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to bring. Everybody ought to bring. Everybody ought to bring a soul to him. Everybody ought to sing. Everybody ought to sing. Everybody ought to sing glad praise to him. He's a lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this day and all the many blessings you give us. We're thankful for the time we've had this morning to come together to worship Thee. We pray that all that we've said and done has been in accordance with Thy will. We pray that we'd all be back this evening once again to worship You. We're thankful, Father, for Brother Mark and his ability to preach Thy word. We're thankful for the lesson we've just heard. Help us all to strive to serve Thee to the best of our ability. We're thankful, Father, for our elders. Bless them as they lead this congregation. We're thankful, Father, for our new sister in Christ. Help us all to be an encouragement to her. Remind, Father, of all those that were mentioned who are sick and shut in this morning. Pray that you be with them, to bless them. Especially pray for Brother Chester, who will be having surgery Tuesday. Be with those doctors that are ministering to him. May they do those things that might help him to have a to be healthy and have a good recovery, if it be Thy will. Pray that You go with us now. Help us to overcome the temptations that we face daily in our lives. And forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.